Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. If you'd like to find more sessions, interviews, and story podcasts, visit our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts or search for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. This podcast features a program session from the EDUCAUSE 2010 Annual Conference.
We want to welcome you to Harnessing SaaS in the Cloud for Multi-Site Research Projects. My name is Peter Kung. I am the director of the Focus Project, what we'll be concentrating on today, and another center called the National Child Traumatic Stress Network, which is also at UCLA.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Gregory Leskin. By way of introduction, I am assistant director for what's called the Focus Project, as well as the director for Military Family Initiatives at the National Center for Child Traumatic Stress. This is located at UCLA Semmel Institute for Human Behavior and Neuroscience. We're going to be describing today both an innovative, unique program that has been developed and used for military families. We're going to talk about some of the development, creation of a IT system to really harness the cloud in order to support this program. This is a program that has been funded and is under contract with the United States Navy Bureau of Medicine and Surgery, as well as the United States Marine Corps Combat Operational Stress Control Program. So what is FOCUS? FOCUS is an acronym for Families Overcoming Under Stress. As I'm sure you are all aware, for the past 8 years, the United States military has been involved in almost constant deployments to combat in Iraq and Afghanistan. This has resulted in what could be perceived as considerable stress, emotional stress on the service members and family members. FOCUS was developed at UCLA to address the stress on military families from deployment and combat experiences. This has been a very interesting and unique, innovative approach to military family support, very well received by the military, primarily because we've provided support in the way of building on strengths, building on resiliency. We've helped the military families to stay strong throughout these different deployment experiences. And through that, we have really used and developed an IT structure to support the innovative nature of this program. We'll be describing that in detail. The development of this program has been based on the expressed needs of the military in terms of requirements. So we'll talk about what some of those requirements have been on the program. Part of it has been the requirement to have a data structure to support the rollout of this unique program. And we've really relied on the technology, the harnessing of the cloud computing program in order to support a worldwide effort to support our military. This has included really a rapid expansion of the program to serve a greater number. As the proof of concept, the pilot phase was completed and we proved that the program was effective, then had the requirement to look at the expansion of the technical program to support the program. Some of our major program goals, which also reflect the IT goals, have been to remain flexible, modular, to be customized at the level of the family, and to have a system that would inform our intervention, our treatment. Primarily, and this has been a very important piece from the psychological health side, is that our treatment would be evidence-based, harnessing the data, harnessing the information that we gathered to constantly have business intelligence to be able to inform our decisions. So let's look at some of the benchmarks and achievements. I think you'll be impressed by the rapid expansion of this program. UCLA received funding from the United States Navy Bureau of Medicine and Surgery in 2008, March. UCLA was contracted initially to implement FOCUS for the United States Navy, United States Marine Corps, initially at 7 sites. So FOCUS staff, centrally managed from UCLA, located on military bases, serving Marine Corps, Navy Special Warfare, and CB, the CB being the construction battalion for the Navy. So we started out at those seven sites. We quickly expanded. The program proved effective. Military families felt supported. We were seeing good outcomes. We expanded. June of 2009, we expanded to 14 Navy and Marine Corps sites. Plus, you'll hear about this as we go along today, we started serving more groups. We started serving wounded warriors, those combat injured. After that, we started serving Army and Air Force at some pilot sites. So as this momentum grew, we started serving more specific groups within the Navy and the Marine Corps, those combat injured, and we started expanding to additional branches. So you'll see from the tech side how these needs, these requirements to be rapidly scalable, quickly expandable, and flexible and adaptable were our core mission, our core values. We're geographically all over the place. We're dispersed. We needed a cloud system to be able to address our geography, to be managed centrally in Los Angeles, and yet have sites that were from Japan to the East Coast, across time zones, and created a host of challenges, which our talented IT team addressed many of the hardware and software systems and many of the requirements that both the staff at UCLA headquarters as well as within the military wanted to see for the program. What makes this program unique? You know, what were some of the issues that we addressed? Well, it's a psychological health program. It's a resiliency program. Even though it's not mental health, we use many of the core components of a mental health program, including assuring confidentiality. People in the military, people that have stress, they want to talk about their issues, they want to receive help, but they don't want this information all over the world. It's private. So we needed to assure confidentiality. It's preventive. We needed to be able to show that in order to do this, if you do this work, maybe you won't feel stressed out. So in order to help people, we needed to show them that this was a program to prevent worsening of symptoms. So we relied a lot on the technology to be able to do assessments and be able to show back to our families that by doing this kind of work, resiliency training we call it, that can offset the development of more serious psychological issues. Evidence-based, I mentioned this earlier. Everything within Focus is evidence-based. We use the data that's drawn from the cloud computing system to be able to show families, to be able to train staff, and to be able to prove to our funders and the military that this is an effective program, that it's helping maintain the psychological health of military families. We've employed highly trained professionals. Our professionals are provided with reports. We keep our staff informed. We keep the command informed as to the effectiveness of this intervention with the families. We're working both with children and the family and the service member and the spouse. This has created some unique aspects, too, to have a child-friendly program. It's collaborative and complementary. That is, we've worked very closely with the command. We work very closely with those on the base. We work very closely with the community. All of those elements are tracked. We're tracking, we're monitoring our contacts, we're following up with our contacts, we're informing the people we work with in a way that is meant to persistently allow for families to feel comfortable with this approach. We've maintained stable staff and locations. We've offered a wide array of services. And coming back to something I mentioned earlier, we've been able to offer this program in a very customizable way. That is, we realize that each family is unique, and we've understood that each family has different needs, and we've been able to customize using these programs this approach to each family, whether that be a military, a Marine Corps family, that is just entering the Marine Corps, that hasn't had a deployment, to a Marine Corps family or a Navy family that has experienced injury and other unique aspects of the military life. So what have been some of the foundations for a sustainable program? We consider this a best practice intervention that meets all of the criteria for a best practice. It's evidence-based. It's standardized. We've proved the feasibility of the program using clinical outcomes and showing clinical outcomes to the scientific community. And the program is shown to be portable. That means we've been able to prove feasibility in one spot and then been able to show effectiveness in other areas. We've been able to show that we can integrate using a collaborative system of care, using a program that can track our outcomes. Importantly, and I think very importantly for the purposes of today's talk, built into our program from the beginning has been a data monitoring system that allows for program evaluation, quality improvement, and quality control. We've developed many products, many trainings that have supported this. Our systems allow for human interaction in the way of a supervision. And we've been able to really adapt this program whenever necessary, whenever the need has arisen, to be responsive to what the families or what the military has asked folks to do. We consider the development of this to be called a suite of services. The suite of services includes individual level, what we call a multi-session individual family resiliency training. We do groups, workshops, community outreach. We are able to provide consultation. That may be around trauma, that may be around developmental issues of children, maybe around parenting. We do a real-time family checkup. Each person who receives these services receives an assessment. And we do a program evaluation that draws from the family's interactions in all these different levels of suites of services. And we've been able to standardize the training package. We've been able to standardize the treatment to really be able to deploy this in a modular way across multiple sites. So this is just a view of one of our family-friendly settings. As you can see, it looks like a child service system. It really is. We made this very family-friendly. It's been established to really look on base like a family-friendly system of care that families can embrace and feel comfortable and safe to receive these services. So let me turn things back to Peter, who will describe the underlying foundation, the implementation, and the technical systems, which have really gone to serve as the foundation and support for FOCUS.
Thank you, Greg. Now that we have an understanding of the strategic goals and services that FOCUS gives, we're going to now turn the page to the enterprise technology that helps execute this vision. So today we will go through a couple of things: the challenge of the IT, how we customize or re-engineered some of the processes, the features we get from that, the suite of services combining this core data monitoring system, cloud computing system. We'll talk about the cloud benefits and the capabilities and even our concerns, and how did we align and also execute this program. So the terrific challenge. I call it a terrific challenge not because we succeeded, but it's also because we were able to bring creativity and innovation when tackling this problem. I separate it into two different areas, the limitation and the requirements. The top comes from the least difficult all the way to the bottom is the most difficult that I saw. So we start off with the limitations. We are geographically dispersed. Makes it a little harder on things. We're off the military grid, meaning no system like this that was proposed ever existed, and the military said, you cannot be on our backbone. Okay? Short time frame. This is a contract, and this is the first year, meaning it's a demonstration year. You had to get not only your staff up and running, but also the IT needed to be in place for monthly report outs, and at the end, a yearly report out to evaluate if this is going to actually continue. So we had a very short time frame, and we're going to talk about that even more. And also, at the same time, bringing in cost effectiveness. How, with only 1 year of contract funding, how do we go about this with this type of vision or this type of scope? Now, the requirements of the system was a little different. We are one. Yes, it was geographically dispersed. We could probably get around that somehow. Get off the military grid. Well, that may be a good thing if we had to be geographically dispersed. Okay. Now, some of the tools that needed to bring was team collaboration. They needed to schedule things. They needed to communicate. We also needed data integrity, making sure that the data in there is complete, but also that is correct. And then if it's not, that it alerts you. Data scoring, analysis, and interpretation. Now, we could score data, we know that, but how do we, for if, say, a child comes in, how do we also interpret the data for the clinician or the trainer who sees the family to give them more clues? So we had to even customize down to when they do get a score that we could actually interpret that score to that trainer. And we use this thing called the stress continuum model. Probably I'm not the best one to speak about that, but we use the principles of a stress continuum model to help interpret the data for them. So we had to integrate some other principles in that. Real-time analysis and analytics, now it's getting even harder. Security, we can have all that, but on top of our mind always, especially as administrators or the principal investigators or administrators at UCLA, how are you protecting the data considering HIPAA? Modularity. How do we piece things together if we think about of Lego sets? If we're, and that combines with agility, that we could piece things together and be able to absorb not only a scalability, but as you probably heard, all these different adaptations that the system was not intended for. Now, if you can imagine an ERP system, if you had to say start customizing local functions for just a specific group, you're going to analyze, should we, is it worth the investment? Then you're going to get into your upgrades and it becomes a nightmare. Could possibly be. But we had to take in mind that this is the first year. Contracts always change. They always bring more things. And we're thinking, well, the best way to go about this is modularity to give us the agility we need if we need to move directions. Now, this is the key process. I mean, these next two slides are going to be very helpful if you want to do this. Is the key process of gathering health assessment data. Now, usually it looks like this. Now, when Greg said we took the mental health principles, is when we're talking about assessment, think about evidence-based assessments as surveys. I'm not doing it justice, but we'll just keep it for this session. Surveys of say depression or anything like that. Now, traditionally, here is the model. The trainer sees the family. So you come in, the clinician sees you. Then you would take the assessment. And then next week, if you're lucky, the trainer receives the score at the next session and can then address the issues. That's the traditional models that you'll see out there. We, in contrast, that focus, re-engineered it by doing one small tweak. Let's start at the top. We schedule them in into the system. Now, understand the entire workflow in this is being monitored in every manner. We schedule them in first, okay? But once they come in through that door, the family takes the assessment. Because of that small re-engineering of that workflow process, we're able to then, while they're putting those scores in of the survey, we're able to do the analysis that where the trainers on another computer actually start seeing the scores come in, interpreted. And then because of that, the trainer sees the family then and on top can address the specific issues for that person now. So we're not just doing a cookie cutter template for each person, but because of the sessions that they do, they have goals in those sessions, but because of their scores, we can actually address those issues specifically, and then we log that session, and then it goes into a cycle. Okay. I've broken up, because of that re-engineering, just that little process, I've broken it up into three main components that we get from it, some benefits we get just because of that. But first, we'll be looking at is the real time. First, because of the real time, get instant feedback. That's great. The trainer, along with the team awareness and the collaboration, the trainer, the supervisors, and people at that site understand what's going on at that exact moment and communicate it. And it optimizes and creates a more efficient workflow compared, if you want to think about, of the traditional model, where you may have to wait a week to get your scores. We're right away being able to give them and deliver services at that moment. Awareness. Now, they are being all centrally managed at headquarters at UCLA. So the staff and HQ can address the issues at the same session. And we're going to go into example later on how we can. We score because of the real time and we could score the data, but we could also interpret the data using the stress continuum model. And I know that's a little fuzzy, but I don't think I have enough time to explain what the stress continuum model is, but it's a way of helping to interpret the data. Now, we create a higher efficacy and effectiveness of the program. How? Because we're able to deliver it real time and we're aware of what's going on at that session, we're able to customize that delivery for that specific family or child or parent. And on top of that, we also get the analytics. All the data is being tracked from a global level of how many families have we seen across 14 sites to what was that exact score of that clinical, of that depression scale. We could track it to that level. We have situational awareness across all sites, meaning if we're looking at business intelligence suites, what's going on, what trends are happening, we're able to create dashboards and even a cockpit to be able to see what is going on from the HQ side, but we could also deliver it down to the sites themselves. So they know how many families they're seeing compared to their contractual goals, what's actually working. Maybe they have, and then we can actually say, well, this site does this to gather more families, does strategy X, Y, and Z. You guys don't really do that. You may want to try that. We're able to give them some situational awareness and business intelligence. And because of all this, we also have other mechanisms like the data team and things like that to provide quality assurance and integrity control. We got to make sure that that data is clean. Prevent of error, maybe not just error on the system, that we always have different testing and debugging, things like that, but also that the clinical data is valid. Moving on to the suite of services. Now, this is actually what we have for the focus project. If that data system that we're concentrating on today is the core, the meat and bones of the system, these are all the other support mechanisms that help it. First, we have to have a help desk, meaning deployment of the computers, networks, printers, all that has to go with being able to adjust all that from a multi-site dispersed networks. We have to create a website, of course, and if you actually go, we just launched it, focusproject.org. It's really neat. Actually, you sign in into the create an account, you'll see what we call a world, which actually adapts the focus project in animation. We do a learning center, which is our LMS that trains our clinicians. We have an intranet just for local communication between HQ, things like that, scheduling, listservs, and knowledge bank. Knowledge bank is, if you want to think, a librarian resource of just a lot of different resources considering military and families. And so what do we get from all this? Well, first thing you have to know is we're well embedded within the UCLA structure. A lot of good relationships are created, so we get support through the CIO of the institute to other partners as well. We built upon, and that's why I mentioned in the beginning, I'm also the director of what we call the NCTSN, the National Child Traumatic Stress Network. This was an institutional partnership between two different centers that one IT team overlooks both centers. And we took the National Center Foundation technology and then customized it for focus to be able to build and rapidly scale. We brought the knowledge from our National Center of Internetwork and Collaborative Tools and Web Services, things like that, to Focus for their first year. Remember that. Because of that, we were able to enable and align our IT platform to the organizational goals and strategies. But most importantly, with that first year goal of our demonstration, we're able to simultaneously build all these services and deliver a mature and expandable platform starting in year one. Not at the end, but you'll see the timeline starting at year one. Now, we'll get into the alignment and architecture of Focus. So we're turning to why we chose the cloud. We gave away our approach. How did we deliver the capabilities? How did we execute them? I mean, the challenge of IT is not only finding the right technology, right? You got to find the right technology that aligns to the business or organizational processes, but you got to also execute in the right way, which is always the tough part about IT. So what we're going to go through is cloud computing. We actually use some specific layers of the cloud. The cloud is very popular now, and it's getting a little more concrete in terms of vocabularies, but we're using specific parts of it, SaaS, software as a service, and if you want to be really specific, application platform as a service. We're going to talk about why we used it, why we chose it, the capabilities that it brought to us in line with what Greg was speaking about, and also some concerns that we have, and maybe you could take it away as well, some lessons learned. So, cloud computing, why? Is anyone familiar with this one? No? It's the Gartner's, right? Gartner's hype cycle, which is great. They have great research, magic quadrants, things like that. And this is their second year, the 2009, and this is their 2010 emerging technologies. If you look at the very top, cloud computing is up there again. And we know that it's, even from this conference, that cloud computing, something's going on with it. There's some interesting things that could do. Does it change the landscape of IT? It may not. But you may want to take a look at that. But other than making just the Gartner hype cycle, there are some just cost benefits that we get from cloud computing. The first is fast scalability. Remember, we're a first-year demonstration project. We needed to get up fast and quickly. And combining with the second point, low cost. Now, the upfront cost of starting a cloud computing vendor or choosing a vendor is much more low in the upfront and long term compared to things like an ERP system, our CRM, our on-site CRM. If you guys use the ERP, you probably know how expensive it could get. The customizations, if you push it beyond a point, then you're going to have some trouble on the upgrades. You're going to have things like that. So we know we have fast scalability, we have low upfront and long-term if we decide to go long-term costs, and considering staff limitation. This was a brand new thing. Focus Project didn't have their staff up yet. I came in with my team, but we needed, if you're taking on such a large project, you need more resources. So how do we counterbalance that, the staff limitations? Well, if you use a cloud vendor, it's almost, if you want to think of it, as you have an army of programmers behind you now to give you some capabilities. And we're going to now turn into, before we go into that capabilities, the Focus timeline. Now, this is a rough sketch of what is going on with the Focus program. Greg mentioned that it started in March 08. Now, actually, my team did not come on till August. The end of the year would be June of 09. Now, we did an evaluation at the National Center for the Institutional Partnership, and right after we took it on and we said we could do it, we discovered that the system and the networks and the computers, everything, all the services that were originally there, not the suite of services that were originally there, had large problems. And we decided to overhaul the complete system. Now, the reason why I mentioned this is so that every organization will encounter their own roadblocks. And the only way to go and learn from them is either you go through it yourself to avoid it, or you could come to a conference like this and get our lessons learned. So we had to decide at that moment, and we're in September now, to either decide to bring down the scope. You know what? Let's not do this cloud. Let's not do this real time. Let's just bring it in, put, you know, let the VPN connection come in. We get a SQL database and, you know, we're good. We could have gone that route. And we're going to explain why we didn't. But we also, we didn't choose to do it. We actually continued and we dug deep and we overhauled the system. We relaunched it quickly in mid-December, reintegrating all the data that was in there that was pieced together and not really working. We relaunched it. We then put new BI of reporting tools a couple months later. Year one ends, contract extends, we upgrade more BI, we bring in more tools. We have adaptations now. This is really important. The adaptations that weren't ever purposely supposed to be served, that the contract said we won't change anything, well, not surprisingly, it did. And it should not come as a surprise. So the system had to be agile enough. And then year two ends with a 5-year contract awarded. And then just recently, we're going into a continuous improvement process that already initiated, and we're actually concluding that continuous improvement process right now. So that was a rough timeline, what we had to do in terms of what I'm saying of that short time frame. We literally had a couple of months, and so that really takes in effect this fast scalability, the low cost, and the staff limitations to decide that we're going to continue but overhaul everything. So what capabilities does cloud computing or these systems give us? We know the cost benefits. They're there. However, what it does bring to us is the modularity. Now this is similar to if you want to think about service-oriented architecture or event-driven architecture or web services, that you could piece things together. And the only analogy I have of this is like a Lego set. You have these services, and then you could start combining things, break things apart, and create things. That's really nice. Now, I'll give you an example, I said, is when they take this assessment, it's, think of it as a survey. And we keep it, so they take a survey, the soldier comes in, takes a survey. And we know that right now you hear in the news about the suicidality, that the rates are high, and how do we catch these markers. Well, this is our way of doing it. When our service member is actually taking the survey, there's some questions about suicidality. If it's actually marked or scored to a point, that's our listener object. That score is actually getting passed to our system real time, interpreted, flagged, big red flag comes up and everything. And simultaneously, the event-driven architecture sends an email to the trainer, their supervisor, all of HQ at that very second when that soldier's pushing it. Before even the soldier actually sees the trainer already has protocol on what to do. That's our way of addressing this modularity of piecing together. Let's put a survey. Okay, we'll have a survey, integrate with our system, create some workflows within it to get some rules, and then be able to have some event-driven events going on in it. If we want to scale to more functionalities of adaptations to the program, we're able to piece it together using API calls and things like that. So it gives us, we'll talk about choosing vendors, it gives us the ability to start connecting different pieces together. With a lot of these cloud computing services, you have a readily available enterprise toolkit. That's really nice to have some of the things that you weren't intended. You could repurpose things together. You have a toolkit ready as an IT administrator. You want to be able to align to the organization goal or their processes and just repurpose things for that specific process. Okay. Because we have modularity and this toolkit, you'll see that we could easily customize new fields, more fields, things like that. It gives us flexibility within the system, but ultimately what it delivers you is an agile system. being able to absorb things that the system wasn't intended to do and be able to change with the organization. As we know, the organizational goals may be changed year to year and some maybe every 6 months. And to be able to say the IT could keep up or it can align and not hold down the organizational progress is a great advantage. With a lot of these models as well, you actually get new upgrades and new features for free. So no, if you're thinking we're in Office 2003 and like, oh, your IT team has to deploy 2007, just imagine it's just there for you. You can, some of them you can just enable or disable, but the key thing is combined with the toolkit, you have toolkits ready for at your disposal. So you're getting these capabilities otherwise not there compared to like an ERP system, which you have to pay a lot more to have some of these things. And you want to look at their data security. We'll talk about this. Is you have all these capabilities, you have a good working system, but you got to think at the end of the day, how secure is it? And how about disaster recovery models? What happens if it goes down? It can't be that fragile. So you want to think about how good, but if you're looking for, again, vendor, you should be seeing a lot of these features that you should be considering. But that's what this cloud computing solution that we've executed gives us. Now, some of the concerns. There are a lot of concerns. It's still an emerging market. There's going to be new things coming up, but it's getting better. It is. Do yourself this is a big lesson, is due diligence in choosing a vendor. You may see some really neat tools, but you want to consider a couple of factors with the vendor. The status of a company. Are they going to go out of business? How steady are they? Look at their financials, things like that. How reliable they are. How good is their security? Can you actually confirm? Can you actually audit? These are big questions to have. How about the threats? Do they actually allow real-time analysis of their status, of their security, the threats that are coming aboard? Are you able to know these factors? It's really important because you can have great tools, but then not know anything of their security and you open yourself to a big hole. Are they certified for compliance? How about if you're a private industry, are they safe harbor compliant too? Are they SAS 70 Type 2 certified for HIPAA compliance? And you can think of all the other compliance issues as well. Is their organization compliant to what you need? How's their disaster recovery models? Now, this is important. This is actually one of the risks. These are all risks that you take in going to the cloud. But are you locked in? Meaning, how hard is it to switch systems? You develop all these things and you go into it and your entire data set's there. How about they do go out of business? Or how about you do decide this is not for us and we want to move? Are you locked in? And how easily are you able to move? There is also an issue of, because it's off-premise, there are things of dynamics of, is your staff and is your organization able to release control in that aspect of that the machine is not here? It's somewhere else on some other person's premise. That is an issue and that is a risk because you can't see it for yourself. And sometimes that does bring some comfort, but that's something that you need to evaluate yourself as an organization. Are you okay to have off-premise and lose a little bit of control off that? But that goes back to the due diligence of the vendor. And ultimately, you should be able to bring in your counsel and define the MSAs, SLAs, and also additional contracts on top of it. Right now, UCLA is actually what we're doing is additionally attaching, although they're HIPAA compliant at UCLA, we're additionally putting HIPAA compliant contract on them that's going to be stored when it gets pushed through at the UC repository. So any UC is able to use what we've done and make sure their data is safe. So you want to be able to make sure that you're not only you do your due diligence, but bring your legal counsel in just in case to form your contracts. Now, choosing the right technology is important, but how do we make it so that aligns to actually an organizational goal? It's neat to have a cutting edge technology, but if it doesn't match a process, it just won't work or won't be adopted or usable. So some of the key things is understand your organizational IT maturity. And what I mean by that is, if we take the extremes of a very mature organization with standard processes and wants to know across the board what's happening real time, and you deliver a stovepipe solution that only is good for a department, for an enterprise, it probably won't work. And on the flip side, if you have a very informal organization and then you bring an ERP system in, that may not match as well. With Focus, we had a little unique situation. It was a brand new group. We used one of the advantages is they were actually very collaborative in nature because it was so new. Everyone wanted to be involved. So we overlaid the technology that helped them establish processes and standards and policies, but kept it agile enough so that different cores or departments could actually utilize it. We did not approach it in a stovepipe solution like the training team will have these solutions and the data team will have this other set of solutions. We kept it together. We have to understand the strategy and then execute. Understand the business processes and then fit the technology in there. Do a top-down approach. Rather than having the technology and have the entire organization fit it, I suggest go the other way. You'll have better usability and adoptability on it, but also it actually brings value to your organization much more quickly. The need for cross-functional teams and architects, very critical if you're doing enterprise. Bring everyone together. Bring in the different opinions and different viewpoints, because the only way to do this in a successful way from our experience is bring cross-functional teams and architects together and really understand the capabilities of the cloud computing solution you're doing and the limitations. It may do a lot of neat things, but we found out right away that our situation didn't do recursive data calls to a certain degree. So we actually had to use platform as a service to program on top of that to make certain things. So that may be some trouble if you're trying to dig down deep into certain data. You have to know the limitations and the capabilities. I'm going to hand it to Greg now.
Ultimately, these systems go to support what we call evidence-based interventions or evidence-informed interventions. The principles that Peter discussed and highlighted from the IT perspective have been able to interact with the research end and the program evaluation end. This has remained a flexible program, and we've been able to use the data to interact with other programs that have allowed us to, in a consistent manner, look at our program outcomes, those outcomes being measured in metrics from the family level to the site level to ultimately the program. Is it working? Does it work? Peter was mentioning, for example, the stress continuum. This goes back to what I was mentioning earlier in terms of this being a prevention program. If we find that a family is too stressed, is too injured, we're referring to a hospital, a clinic. Our goal is to be able to work with families that can benefit from this approach. That fully utilizes the IT solution, the online survey approach, the real-time analytics to be able to get that information in our staff's hand to be able to say to a military family, you are appropriate for this program. Let us show you how this works. And this is the benefit of doing this work. So it's really fully utilizing these IT approaches. In addition, the outcomes include management tools, business intelligence to support policy decisions. For example, in Hawaii, where we're serving multiple Marine, Navy, and Army bases, we have resources and we need to deploy resources. We're using our real-time analytics to be able to determine best way to deploy our resources, our trainers, and our capacity to serve the greatest number and those in the greatest need. We have utilized a responsive system to our training as we are detecting needs, as we're detecting certain areas for greater concentration. For example, if we determine that there's a certain need in a particular age group, for example, male children in the age of 8 to 10, we'll deploy greater training based on that identification of need or intelligence from this system. In addition, this has actually been able to support ongoing requests from management as well as higher at the funding level to be able to show outcomes, to be able to show meeting of contractual goals. This is contract. From what I recently learned, it's the largest single contract to UCLA in the history of UCLA is this program. So in terms of our being able to service this contract, be able to show that we're meeting our deliverables, we've been able to really use these analytics, these tools that Peter has shown in order to be able to consistently show on demand that we're meeting our metrics and our contractual goals.
We have gone through a continuous improvement model, which you highly recommended. We take a review of how the system grew, where we could optimize. And really this point of this is if that's your normal workflow, plan, build, and run it, and you have different models and things like that, we don't take the agile workflow for granted. You're able to change the system very quickly, but what it calls for, and this is really important, is the need for a governance model. Don't try to have a sole programmer in a stovepipe position, just program and just make changes on the fly. Really have a governance model in place so that you're able to measure the impact and evaluate how one change affects another department.
Ultimately, our goal is to support military families who've been stressed by multiple deployments to combat. Military families have shown and expressed appreciation and have responded well to focus through our check-in, the assessment, and its capacity to be really customizable using this IT solution to each family based on what are their strengths, where are their areas of challenge, in a very real-time way. We've been able to develop the systems to allow that to occur. These real-time analyses have enhanced program implementation at family and community level and provide metrics for ongoing improvement. As times change, as system changes, the military changes, as the needs change, our program has been scalable, agile, flexible, and it's been supported by this unique, innovative technical system.
You can find more EDUCAUSE podcasts by visiting our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts or search for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. EDUCAUSE podcasts are now available to listen to straight from your mobile device. Just visit www.educause.edu/mobile. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.